Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the program today. No theme song today. I just made this arrangement a couple of minutes ago, and I did not put a theme song on. So I'm just going to go ahead and give you a theme song.
Welcome, my brothers and sisters, to the Common Salvation Ministries, opening the eyes of the nation one eye at a time. And I am pleased to welcome your host and my wonderful husband, Phil Armstrong.
Well, that was a theme song for the Common Salvation, another radio program I have on Blog Talk Radio. So, God bless everyone out there. Heavenly Father, just give us wisdom and guidance as we go and do this show and speak to the hearts of men. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, what I want to talk about is, actually I have a few things I want to talk about today. A lot of calm in the air. We had Kennedy pass away. Ted Kennedy passed away a couple days ago. Friday, was it Sunday or Saturday? I think he passed away Thursday, something like that. Prior to that, we had Michael Jackson and Farrah Fawcett and. People die, celebrities die. You get you're gonna have a national funeral, and they're gonna cut off TV shows just to put the funerals on, which is good. And I respect the office that he held, and that's all I'll say about that. We are in a moment of calm in our nation. The economy is supposedly on the rebound, but apparently it doesn't look that way. To me, it doesn't. But as you look at the big picture, it doesn't look like the economy is on the rebound. When you have a new president, and what he does is spend us out of a problem that was caused by spending, and you pump too much money in the system, you're going to get a perk. You're going to get growth. Of course, if you put too much air in a tire, you're still going to have a tire. But the thing is that at least the tire, you can see it overblown, and you know that, hey, I need to stop putting air in the tire. What did the vice president say? He says pumping money into the economy is good. Well, I got a question for you. How long does it hold up? If you the government, you can call good even, evil good. What you say goes. It's kind of like being God. Believe it or not, whatever God says goes, goes. So the government places themselves in the God position, and whatever they say or whatever goes, goes. So they say pumping money. If they say black is white and white is black, then it goes. I was watching 1984. Matter of fact, I just ordered it again. I'm going to watch it again. I had to blur out some of the bad scenes. But some of the sexist scenes, but I fast-forwarded. But it's an awesome movie because it speaks reality today. Some of these news channels are all on the same page. I'm sort of wondering how these people come up with the same philosophy. The same president worship, pharaoh worship, or whatever you want to call it, worshiping the king. And that's exactly what they did. They go from Obama, the George Bush to Obama, worshiping the president. Everything he says goes. If he says that he can fly, people in the media will swear they saw him flying over the White House. Maybe that's what that airplane was in New York. The New Yorkian people got mad at. We got mad at too. After we just been through 9/11, you're going to fly a plane over there and think it's funny? Well, maybe that was Obama. President Obama flying around. Because I swear if you tell the media President Obama can fly, they probably believe it. Oh, yes, I believe Obama can fly. Yes, yes, he do. We believe he can fly. Yeah, I bet you believe he can fly. Well, see, what I like to talk about is what will cause a revolution in the United States. Now, I see, and I know you do too, these town hall meetings with the American citizens look mad. Those that are in the know, they look mad. And see, the media is bringing attention to these town hall meetings and making the American people believe that the American citizens or the people who are attending these town hall meetings are morons. They're evil. They're people who are vicious. They want to disrupt everything. Failing to tell the American people what John F. Kennedy said, failing to tell the American people that it is the American citizens' duty to rise up. Now, if the system is created that way, we need to do it. We need to rise up. That's why a lot of churches are not rising up against abortion, because we think that the Romans told us to stay out of it. Romans chapter 13 told us to stay out of it. Be submissive to your government. Because God put them in that position. But killing babies is killing babies. Now, do you raise up and shoot bullets? No. But you do the moral thing. First of all, you don't vote for a president. If you're a Christian and you're voting for a president who believes he loves abortion, it's like, he's a Dallas Cowboy fan. You know, the fans that love football or hockey or baseball, and they're fans of a team. Well, he's fans of abortion. He loves abortion. He eats it up. He follows with the mouth. Oh, matter of fact, I can go kill a couple Chinese babies. And that's exactly what he does. Goes over there funding Chinese murder. Call it population control. All the globalists love population control. They love it. Prince Philip, and I don't know what tier he's on in the global society, but he's like, I wish I could come back as a virus. I'll kill off a lot of people. Now, that's sick. I wish I could come back as a virus. You never hear any Islamic people talking about they want to come back as a virus. They just going to kill you face to face. See, Prince Philip is killing you in his dreams, and an Islamic person wants to kill you face-to-face. Not every Islamic person, forgive me for saying that. There's a lot of good people. There's Islamic people. So, what can cause a revolution? Could force vaccines or inoculation, could forcing somebody to take shots, forcing American kids to take shots, forcing the preschool, the kindergarten, the junior high, the elementary school, the high school people, the kids to take vaccines, inoculation, forcing them to take shots. Did that cause a revolution? Could a combination of things cause a revolution? Could the economy cause a revolution? Could the president cause revolution? So you come out and you call a man who's trying to get into his own house, and somebody calls the police on him. The police comes, handles the situation like he's supposed to handle the situation. The college professor who's trying to get into his own house blows it out of proportion, gets all upset, and acts like a kid. The white police officer tries to restrain him or whatever he has to do, and the president of the United States, with no thoughts at all about it, comes out and says it's a racist matter. Is that a way you can try to cause revolution? He says he's like Abraham Lincoln. Didn't they have a revolution then? So what can cause a revolution that can cause this country to not be in Bible prophecy? Because if we're not in Bible prophecy, what happened to us? And was the revolution the cause, or was something much bigger that caused the revolution was the cause that the United States is not in Bible prophecy? And don't give me that we are the Roman Empire, or the great Babylon the Great. No, the Babylon the Great is a composite of all the nations put together, including the United States. So, quit trying to save America and drag them through the tribulation period, or drag us through the tribulation period. Hopefully, I'm not going to be here. Yes, I'm a preacher, rapture person. And if you want to call me an escapist, I'm an escapist. God said he'll keep us out of the time of testing that is coming upon the whole world. I was looking at Matthew 24, and it blew my mind. Something that I already saw, something that should have been already seen by me, because I've read Matthew 24 1,000 times. And something had caught my eye. Something of really importance had caught my eye. And I'll turn to that. If you have your Bibles, turn to that. So if no one in the chat room, that's fine. What got me is when it starts talking about signs that of Jesus Christ is coming back. Now, I am a preacher of rapture person, so those who ain't, bear with me. What caught my eye is the Bible said in verse 6 of Matthew 24, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Then it says, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places." Now, let's back up a little bit. Excuse me. It says, "For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." Pause. "And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places." Now, it seems to me that World War III will cause more of a bigger famine, a bigger pestilence, a bigger earthquake and prior to this, in verse 6, when it says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that you are not troubled, for all of these things that must come to pass, but the end is not yet," it's a preparation for nations to rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, meaning that after World War III, this is what I'm saying, this is what I'm getting. It says, "For nations to rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom." So that's a major war. So what comes after major wars? Most of the time, famine, the food is shut off, various reasons, pestilence erupts. Could be part of the war, can be weapons. The earthquakes, well, I believe in supernatural. I believe that the rapture of the church will take place at Ezekiel 38 and 39. Now, don't go and party till you see that war come, because it won't do you any good. But I do believe that in this little verse 7, it's telling us that the swine flu and all these other things can take off and explode during major war. These things can be released during a war. Ezekiel 38 and 39 talks about a king from the north. The king of the north shall come down and invade Israel. I do believe that the church will be taken out at this point. It's just my belief. It's not fact. It's not doctrine. It's not something you have to believe, or else you can't listen to my radio program, or else you're a moron. That's not what I'm saying. I believe that that's my belief. I believe that that it is a pre-trib rapture, and the church will be taken out at the time of a major war. And in this major war, we have to. We will see it. If you're not dead by then, we will see a major war happen in the Middle East. And I'm just guessing that the rapture of the church could happen, and I say could happen at this time. Now, America is not the one brokering the peace deal. The king or the prince that shall come, talked about in Daniel chapter 9, the prince that shall come shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, is the Antichrist, which is spoken of in Daniel chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 13. So he shall confirm a covenant is the Antichrist. Now, who is the Antichrist, and where is he going to come from? I believe that the Roman Empire will still take the same geographical route, meaning I believe that the Roman Empire will accomplish the same territories that it did back in the day. That does not only include Europe, but it also includes the Middle East and Africa. So does the Antichrist have to be European? He has to be Roman. Let me ask you that again, and I'm going to answer the question. Does the Antichrist have to be European? Or could he be Roman? Not just, but could he be Roman? I believe that the Antichrist will be of Roman descent, the Roman Empire. Now, the Bible also gives clues that Alexander the Great Empire was divided up into four. And out of the four came Antiochus Epiphanes, which was from the Syrian Empire. Now, Syrian Empire. Now, the Syrians was Antiochus Epiphanes' background. Now, was it Babylon? Possibly. So, what geographical territories represent the Syrian Empire today? Syria and Iraq. Now, I'm going to take a guess of who I think, where he's coming from, and then I'll tell you who I think he is. The Bible talks about, this is just a guess, the Bible talks about in Isaiah 17 that Damascus is no longer a city. It is totally destroyed. Now, what happened to Saddam Hussein when Iraq was tumbled? They found him. They got him, they tried him, and they killed him. Well, Damascus is no longer a city. Could it be that Damascus is no longer a city, and also that their chain of command or their leadership is gone also, or destroyed? And through that, the Antichrist becomes in charge of Syria, monarch, or they want to restore the monarchy, or could he just be a politician who becomes the prince or king of Syria, or president or prime minister, one of those. And who is the Antichrist? I don't think he's around. I mean, he's born, he's walking around, he's a grown man, he's ready to take leadership, but the Antichrist he's not one of the politicians that is in the limelight right now. He's not even close. He's not even around. The Antichrist is not known by us. Now, the only people probably know the Antichrist right now is his relatives and friends and coworkers. And if he's a politician, his political foes or political comrades. So nobody knows who the Antichrist is. He is not, we're not told to know who he is. We're not told to, as a church, we're not told. The only people who are warned about the Antichrist is Thessalonica, because they were thinking that the time had already came. And the book of Revelation, those people who are in the book of Revelation, who are running from the Antichrist, was warned, and Israel itself was warned that the Antichrist will try to kill him. But the church was never told to look for the Antichrist. The only time the church was warned about the Antichrist is when we thought that, or I'm saying we, because back then we were still we. But back then, they thought that the time had already come. The resurrection had already come. They already thought that God was done. He was done. He's already came. They already came back and already got the dead and the living. And actually, they thought the dead was going to be left in the ground. So the Antichrist is, the Bible tells us to look for that blessed hope and the glorious spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It never told us to look for the Antichrist, never. I used to think Juan Carlos was the Antichrist because he fit the bill perfectly. And he had to look, now he's older. If you've seen Juan Carlos when he was in the 70s, he definitely had to look that he could be the Antichrist. Good looking guy, the Bible calls the Antichrist the king of fierce features. The king that should have a look more stout than his fellows. That means the Antichrist is going to be good looking. Now, the king, the Bible says that he's the king of fierce features. That means that there is no politician I can ever think of that has fierce features. Now, does Arnold Schwarzenegger have fierce features? No. Arnold Schwarzenegger lost all his muscles a long time ago. He's still a little stocky, but he's stockier than I am, but he's not the Antichrist. The Bible says that the Antichrist cannot come to power until he is taken out of the way. And who is the he? Some people say it's the devil. Now, why would the devil hinder the Antichrist from coming? He loves Antichrist. He's been having Antichrist for the last how many years? I don't even know. So the devil's not going to hinder his own people, his own Antichrist from coming. That doesn't make any sense. Now, I might have to go ahead and read a lot of this because I don't know if I can. Hold on for a second. I'm going to read some of this, and I'm at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'm just going to go ahead and read some of it. It says, "But of the times and seasons, brother, ye have no need that I should write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night." Now, a thief in the night, what does that mean? Why did it say that? Why did it say that the day of the Lord has to come as a thief in the night? Now, something's getting stolen. So if the day of the Lord should come as a thief in the night, something is that God is trying to hint upon the writer, which God is speaking through, is trying to hint that something's being stolen or took it. Okay, let's keep going. "For when they shall say peace and safety, then total destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they should not escape. But ye, brothers, are not in darkness that their day should overtake you as a thief." Why is he warning them not to let the day overtake them as a thief? In Luke 21, it talks about Luke 21, verse 34. "And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Now, you're going to be standing in front of the Son of Man, right? So, let's back up here in Luke. So, it says that be careful that you're not overtaken with the cares of this life. Now, let's go back to when God gave different seeds. The seed fell on different soil. Now, you notice that the seed that fell on good ground brought back good results. Now, the seeds that fell on the ground and the sun came and scorched it, and it had no root, or the one where the tares grow up with it and choke the word out. Remember that? Well, you can account that to Luke 21, verse 34 through 36. And it says, "And take heed to yourself, lest at any time you be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, that they have come upon you unawares." Surprise. "For as the snare shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth." It's a surprise. "Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape." Escape? How are you going to escape unless you're part of this thing in Thessalonians when it talks about the day of the Lord shall come as a thief? So is God stealing his people out? Because we got to look at the day of the Lord as a bigger picture. We can't think about men being the victims or men being the victims of the judgment of God and all this. We got to think about, hey, this is the close of the end of the age. This is where the devil is put into retirement for 1,000 years and soon for eternity. We got to look at it, the big picture. This is where the devil can no longer harm or tempt Christians and cause them to fail. Because remember, the Bible says that people who are going to look upon Satan and say, is this the one? Is this the man? Is this the one who made us, cause us to fall? This is the one that gave us all the problems? In other words, he's going to look wimpy. Okay? So, why is it that the Bible says that the day of the Lord should come as a thief? Because the devil wants to destroy anyone who follows God. And when God reaches into the earth and pulls out his own, he's just stolen his people. So now the devil's mad, and he's got to come against Israel. Then he finds out that, hey, these Christians, these people, these 144,000 Jews and the two witnesses and the angel flying through the sky is promoting this gospel. I'm mad. So God kicks him down to the earth and says, I saw Satan land like lightning. So he's mad. So now he goes and frustrates the saints through the Antichrist. He's working through the Antichrist to destroy the saints, to get rid of them, to kill them. It says that no man will buy or sell unless he had the mark. But if you don't have the mark, he said men will be beheaded for the witness of Christ. Excuse me. So man will be beheaded for the witness of Christ. And I hope I'm not losing nobody out there, but God has a plan, and the plan is to get rid of the devil. But he's given the devil even 7,000 years. Now, is the devil going to be able to repent? No. But in the process, he's given mankind a savior on the cross. That is Jesus Christ. So, the thief of the night is a coming for his own. Now, there is a story, not a story, it's actually true, that the Jewish, and remember Abraham sent Eliezer out to get Isaac a wife. And Eliezer went by the well. He says, I pray thee, just send the lady out and ask her to ask me for, you know, do I want anything to drink? And then, should I feed your animals? And he says, this is the lady, Rachel. Am I getting it right, Rachel, Rebecca? Rachel, one of the two. And I got to get it right, so it's Rachel, hopefully. He went out. He says, okay, this is the lady. So what happened in the Jewish culture is that the father would go and send somebody out to get his son a wife, and then at a certain time, the son would come back and get the wife at a point in time. So the father would pay her father a dowry. But in our case, it's a seal. So when the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, it's a seal. So Jesus goes home to prepare a place for us. And that's just like the lady, the son will go prepare a place for his wife. And then at a point in time, he'll come get his bride and steal her out of the house. And then they will go into the chambers for 7 days. Now, this is photogenic of Bible prophecy, because we are the bride of Christ. And when at an appointed time, the Father is going to send his son down to get his bride. Now, we don't know the day and hour. We don't even know the time. Just, we know it's at the door. Matter of fact, I can tell you it's very quick, I promise. Is it 5 years away, 10 years away? I don't think so. I'm just thinking 3 at the most. You can get mad at me if you do, but you need to figure out, do you love this world or not? Because if you love this world, you're going to hate what I'm saying. I know some people have miserable lives, and if you tell them Jesus Christ might come back, oh, no, not yet, I need to get my life ironed out. You know what? You're going to be down here when all hell breaks loose trying to get your life ironed out, and it's going to get worse. It's not going to be, I hate when somebody says that, I need to get myself right with God before I get right with God. God is the only one who can get you right with God. Don't try to do his job. Don't try to do the job of God. It ain't going to do no good. You're just wasting your time. God says, without me, you can do nothing. Jesus said that. Without Jesus, you can do nothing. Okay? So, getting back to Bible prophecy. Now, the thief cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus has come that we might have life and have that life more abundantly. So, when the Bible says that the day of the Lord should come as a thief in the night, now let's look at it this way. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. So, he's come to take away your salvation. Remember the different grounds that the seed was sown? So, the devil comes to steal your salvation from you. Now, God, at his appointed time, will come and snatch his own out of the earth. So, apparently, the Bible says, when the time of iniquity has reached its peak, then God will snatch his people out of the earth. So God will, he has an appointed time that only the Father knows. He's going to come back and get his own only at an appointed time. Now, do we know when? Well, I know the Super Bowl is normally the first. It used to be January. Now it's February. But I know that when it's at the door. I know when it's around. Now, I said a couple of months ago, if a lot of Bible prophecy things start to happen in one shot, and then it gets really quiet, be wary. Or not be wary, be joyful if you're a Christian. Because Jesus might be right around the corner. And I said that I believe that the false thief will play a big part in his second coming. If there's any callers out there, I know I kind of do my shows out of nowhere, and I need to stop doing that. I need to start advertising and going down my mail list because I got a lot of people on there and try to get some people on the show. But I'm an archive man for right now because I'm trying to do a lot of things. So just bear with me. But if you want to come on, just press 1, I think it is, and you can come on. But let me touch upon, once again, who I think the Antichrist is. I think the Antichrist will be the most charming person the world has ever seen. The most good-looking guy. But I think his good looks will come with a strategic stare. Or I think he's going to be somewhat of a, the Bible calls him the king of fierce features. So he'll be good looking, but he'll be intimidating. The Bible calls him the king. He says he should have looked more stout than his fellows. So he'll be oversized, and either bigger or stronger, like Saul. The Bible speaks of Saul being bigger, taller. or stoutier. So the last person, the last emperor, will come to the scene. Now, I believe that the Antichrist still can possibly be of lineage. Now, what could he possibly come out of Turkey? Yeah, it could. But my best guess is Syria. Now, could Syria return to the monarchy and form a monarchy after Damascus was taken out? Yeah, anything can happen. Will he go through the Vatican and be eulogized as, eulogized, not a good word, picked to be the emperor of Europe? Yeah, possibly. Will he solve all the world's problems? Yeah, good chance he will. But what I read tonight in Matthew 24 really got me, because I was thinking that a lot of the things that are in Matthew 24 verses 5 through 8, I was thinking those things had to be totally in place before God comes back and gets his people. But I was totally wrong. Because it talks about after the nation shall rise against nation is when these things start to get worse. Now, they will show signs all the way through time, but they will really increase up until that point when nation rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. But when that happens, these things are magnified a million times over. So, let's just use this year. I know some of us might scare some of y'all off, but let's just use some this year, okay, if it happens this year. Let's just say the swine flu is threatening to get worse, okay? Now, swine flu is pestilence, am I right? Okay, so World War III happens in September, say September 18th, September 17th. This is make a date, throw a date out there. World War III happens then. Then after that, pestilence and famines and earthquakes will get worse. And then after that, sometime later, the Antichrist will rise in 30 days or 40 days after that. That's whatever year it happens. I don't care if it's 2050, 2100, 2100. I don't care if it's next year, whatever. Whenever it happens, I believe I'm a fall feast person. I believe that the first four feasts were done in the spring, going towards the summer, and the last three feasts, will happen in October, September, October time frame. Now, if it's this year, there's a possibility that we can see some evidence of that overnight. Now, I believe that when you read Luke 21, if you read Luke 21, it's a surprise. It happens overnight. See, people think that the end times will sort of go at snail pace and all of a sudden happen. Well, the Bible says, it says verse 35 of chapter 21, for as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the earth, or the whole earth. Not just a few, little bit, but the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Those people who believe that there is no rapture, that rapture is right there. The word rapture is not in the Bible. The word abortion is not in the Bible. The word Bible is not in the Bible. So, for people to argue that the point that the word rapture is not in the Bible. You just kind of begging the point. But when it says, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be kind of worthy to escape all these things, why wouldn't you want to escape? I mean, some people probably say, well, you fag, you want to get out of the relationship here. Excuse me for using that. But I think it's kind of weird that you want me to stay in a burning house. But people are going to be here. Really don't care what happens to you because they want you to die with them. And there's a lot of Christians who believe that there is no rapture. But find me the word church. Now, since when the word church, if the word church disappeared after chapter 6, and it was mentioned 19 times prior to chapter 6, actually prior to chapter 4 in Revelations, and it's no longer mentioned, but the word saints appears, then why do we use the word church? Now, he said in chapter 3, talking to the church of Philadelphia, I'll keep you out of the time of testing. Now, let's go back to Luke 21:36. He says that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that are coming to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. The Bible says that judgment should begin in the house of the Lord. Now, if the wheat and the tares are separated at the rapture, because he said let them grow together, if the wheat and the tares are separated, and what did it say in Luke 21:36? He says, and to stand before the Son of Man. What are we doing if there was a rapture? Who do you think we would be doing? I tell you what we'd be doing. We'd be standing in front of God to give an account. God said, and I'm jumping around like Barry Sanders on the football field, but God said that I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So if the word church is no longer mentioned after chapter 6 and all the way up into chapter 19 or 20 is mentioned, what do you think happened? Do you think the word saint, the saints are, the church is called, everybody in the church is called saints, and everybody who were in the Old Testament are called saints, and everybody in the book of Revelation is called saints. He should frustrate the saints. The Antichrist is frustrating new Christians. People who became Christians after the rapture of the church. If your baby vanished and you can hold your ground and say, oh, man, I'm crazy now. Now, let me calm down and say, well, Lord, what you do with my child? Somebody coming to you and say, your child is still alive. You're going to be the happiest person in the world. Because the Bible talks about, I can't remember what the word, where it is. It's in I'll look it up in a second. But it talks about what happened to the righteous. Oh, they didn't know that the righteous was taken away from the wrath that shall come. So they said we die. And I got 11 minutes. So, I'll try to look it up. But they're saying, I don't know what happened to the righteous. What happened? It says, they say we die. And the Bible says that in God shall send them a stronger. So they should have a strong delusion that they'll believe a lie. What delusion is that? UFOs? That's the only thing I can think of that's kooky enough for people to say, oh, yeah, that's the UFOs, yeah. I see. That's what happened. But if you believe that two towers were brought down by planes who has no relation to the ground, if you look at the Twin Towers and the airplanes hit the building, and right away, you should say to yourself, self, even if there was a fire, in order to collapse the rest of the building, shouldn't the fire have relation to the ground? if those buildings were created to withstand force of that's why they don't ever give you any information on the news. Remember 9/11? They never came out and said, "Well, these buildings were meant for to withstand earthquakes and they didn't do that. They just wanted you to buy the lie that 9/11 was just something that just happened. 19 hijackers taking on planes when NORAD could just went up there and either shot them down. Because if you're going to do the mathematics, you'd rather shoot down, what, 100-some people on a plane, 200-some people in a plane, rather than thousands of people in the building. I'm not saying you go do that. But see, NORAD was told to stand down. Did NORAD even try to get up there? Well, anyway, I'm getting off course. But I'm seeing your government will lie to you. Now, the Bible says in Romans chapter 13 that you should submit to your government. But when the Antichrist comes, are the saints going to submit to him? How far do we go? Do we vote for President Obama, who loves abortion and foams at the mouth for abortion? I mean, I'm not going to go out and shoot ways up and shoot buildings, because them cops will catch me. They'll shoot, blow holes, blow me full of holes. Now, you think I'm crazy enough to go out and raise up against the government right now? Are you crazy? I'm going to do what God tells me to do. And I pray for my president, I pay my taxes, I do what I'm supposed to do. But there's going to come a time when the government is going to raise up against the people and the people against the government. The right to bear arms is for that purpose. Okay, let me change the subject right quick. And I'm going to find that in the next show. I already know where it's at. Let me see if I can see where it's at. Chapter 57, it says, the righteous perish, and no man lives with the heart, and the merciful men are taken away. None consider that the righteous is taken away from the wrath that shall come. That is Isaiah 57, and it's saying that the righteous perished. So if millions of people vanish off the face of the earth, what is the first thing you think they're going to say? We vanished. If we vanish, they're gonna say UFOs got us. They killed us. Somebody killed us, or some weapon of mass destruction, where it just eliminates the body and leaves the clothes. Certain DNA. That sounds about retarded enough. Excuse me for using that word. Don't take it personal, but retarded by itself doesn't mean anything. Just like the word, the N word, means ignorant. The only person I know that was ignorant is the one calling black people that word. And English language is complicated because it has so many words that mean three or four or different meanings. Like that's cool, man. Cool can mean cold, you know, cool, cool. It can mean cool, cool, and it mean cool, cool, cool. Well, stop. I'm just joking. Okay, so I'm going to plan on having at least 30, 40 people in the chat room. I'm going to take this radio program seriously because, God has put an urgency in my heart to do that. I think it's fun sometimes because my archives grow considerably when I do these shows late at night. When I do them in the daytime, for some reason, it's like my archives are invisible. But I'm going to pray to the Lord that the Lord sends me people to listen to this program and get it out there. Let's listen to John F. Kennedy talk about the media.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, There is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official.
I want to stop right there. You notice he talks about people who are some of secret societies who are willing to promote safety to gain what they want to gain. Somebody said, I think it's Hamilton, Andrew, says, he who is willing to give away liberty for security is neither worth liberty or security. And that is true. When you're ready to give your freedoms away for security, the Bible says when they say peace and safety, totals of destruction should come upon them. So you're able to say, okay, there's going to be people in the tribulation period to say, you know that lady in the thief of the night, I'll take the mark. There's going to be people like that in the tribulation period who's just willing to okay, you're taking me to the guillotine. Stop it now. You know, I'm a fag. I'm just joking. But I'm seriously, there are people going to sell out God for that purpose. So let me go ahead and try to play Eisenhower's farewell address and then theme song, and then we get out of here. God bless everybody in the chat room. God bless everybody out there.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. We now stand 10 years past the midpoint of a century that has witnessed four major wars among great nations. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
That's military-industrial complex is companies that like KBR and Wackenhut and all these other companies who fleece the flock and make money off of wars and security, like homeland security. And they're the first ones sitting here ready to take on different projects to make millions of dollars, like the swine flu virus crowd, okay? But God bless y'all. I'm trying to do more shows. We're reaching a peak in time where in the next couple of months, three, 4 months, or a couple of weeks, maybe, or maybe a couple of 36 months, or it could be a couple of years. But Jesus is coming back pretty soon. Just like the Isley Brothers said, they didn't make that song for nothing. But God bless y'all. A wonderful day.